Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boys, John Lee.
And Jack Coughlin.
And welcome to another episode of Courtside Eclipse Nation podcast. Today, we're joined by a very special guest. He had a career year last year, looking for another great year next season. Clippers guard, Terrence Mann, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First of all, you're in Massachusetts right now. Is that where you're usually at during the offseason, like when you train?
No, I'm normally in LA, but I'm actually here because me and my friends are running a money tournament. And
okay.
So we also have my camp next week.
Okay, cool. So yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because a lot of people go home and stuff during the off season, so it can be pretty long. So I know they travel anywhere. But first thing I wanted to ask you is it's the off season right now. What's your typical off season regimen, and what are some aspects you want to improve the most for next season in your game?
So my typical off-season regimen is a day. I would just go through a day in the life of me. You know, I probably wake up around 8 or 9, head to the facility, get a lift in with the lifting crew, get some treatment, and then I'll get an on-court workout with whoever coaches I'm working with that day. Basically working on a whole bunch of different things. This year we're working on a lot of post touches. Just so when I'm in transition, just to be able to back my guy down instead of dribbling it out. So a lot of post touches, a lot more shooting we're working on. And then after that, I take a little break and then I head to a gym in Santa Monica with my personal trainer at 1:30. And we do more on-court stuff, just working on, different stuff, so off the dribble, off the shot, mid-range, all that stuff, just sharpening my tools. And then I'm kind of done for the day after that, just relax, probably get some more treatment after that and chill out.
That's awesome. And then on to the next one. So you've been at Paul George's youth camp and gone to Europe and hosted your own camp. So how has it been being like a mentor at the youth camps that you've actually hosted and attended those camps at the same time? Like, how has that been?
Yeah, it's been a cool process to be able to, influence the younger group. You kind of see what they're all about, because I feel like I was disconnected with the younger group for a long time, just being focused on my own game and myself and not really tapping in with them. So to be able to really tap in over the past couple of years has been real cool. And just to see how much they appreciate the game, especially the groups coming up now, there's a lot of talent coming up. So just being able to give them, a lot of different pointers and, talk them through stuff, teach them the game, answer all the questions that they ask has been real fun.
Yeah, it's cool that you're being a mentor and like a big brother to like the youth that's coming up in the game. I want to know, what was it like being mentored in the NBA by guys like Lou Will, Pat Bev, Kawhi, and PG?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different personalities there that you just named. So, I learned a lot from them, especially, off the court. They taught me a lot. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in the position I am in today. I mean, those guys instilled so much confidence in me and in my game throughout my rookie year, my second year there, that I can't imagine, anyone getting from anywhere else. It's such a unique group. I mean, the guys you named, I don't know how many other teams have guys like that. Pat Bev, Lou Will, Kawhi, PG, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Nick Batum. Like, I don't know how many rookies and second year players are ever in position to be on teams like that. So I'm very fortunate from it. And I learned so much from those guys. They taught me the ropes, and I feel like it's my job to teach, the next guys coming up the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your rookie year, they had you shoot with Kawhi and PG. Is that right? When you'd be at their basket?
Yeah. So, a lot of the time I would just go over there by myself and, watch them. I watched them a lot more than I did shoot with them, just to be able to see, how they worked, what their work ethic was like, and just to build, respect by watching. And that's basically what I did my whole rookie year, was being able to watch and see what I needed to take from, every person, little things from each person, to implement it into my either off-season regimen or my workouts.
Are there any like specific things that like have really stuck with you from either like any of the vets you mentioned, like Kawhi or anyone like that? Any specific things they told you or taught you that have really, really stuck with you?
With the specifics, nothing too specific. I think just, watching them work out, or just even like, I can't remember all the questions I had asked them back then either. I did ask a lot of questions also. But yeah, just their pace of their workouts, you know, how they worked is really what they taught me.
So then going off of Kawhi, what's it like playing with Kawhi again, especially with John Wall added to the team, looking good, getting healthy? Like, I know we're super excited for the season. So what's it like finally getting in the groove with the usual crew again?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting. I think, you know, we had a great thing going when Kawhi had went out a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whenever that was. So, you know, we had a great thing going. I think, you know, that year we probably definitely would have went really far. And yeah, so just having him back is going to be awesome. You know, he's an amazing player, obviously, that everybody knows. And he just gels with the team so well. He does so many things for us. So just having him out there is just another weapon is crazy to think of. And then John Wall, you know, added to the team, getting Nick Batum back, getting Rocco back. You know, it's going to be a fun year.
Something to go back on you being a mentor, being mentored by people. Your mom is clearly one of your mentors. She's a professional basketball coach. What are some things she ingrained into your game when you first started to play? Because I noticed that you'll do these things that it's something like coaches, players things would do. Like you see some players, like they'll just like camp at the 3-point line, but I'll see you because you have improved as a shooter, but sometimes I'll still see you like hovering around like the dunker spot, like moving around, being in areas to catch the ball. You're cutting whenever on a weak side drive. Like, what are some things that she ingrained in you that made you the player that you're today?
I think one of the main things is just play my game. You know, don't try to be anybody else. You are. And I think that's what my identity is in the NBA right now. You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, the next guy. I'm just going to go out there and play my game and do what I do and not really care what people have to say about it. So I think mentally, you know, she's big on me mentally. You know, she was able to teach me a lot of things, you know, to be able to get over that hump. You know, if you're not having a good game, if you're having a great game, you basically stay even keel. So I think her role for me as a basketball player was a lot of mental.
Yeah, I mean, it's 90% mental too, like they say. So it's good for her to help you with that. And then going, you know, back in time a bit to that Utah Jazz series, of course, the legendary series. Kawhi goes down, you know, the Clippers still win game 5 and 6 to advance to the first conference finals. We know what happened in game 6, Terrence. You dropped 39 points. You went crazy that game. I was screaming at my TV the whole entire time while you were going off. What were you feeling during that game, man? Like, you were in that zone. What were you thinking of? What was happening? Take me through that.
I think I was just, and you know, in the moment, I was just sticking to the game plan. You know, I know that I can shoot the three. Especially catch and shoot threes. I want to say even last season, I shot over 40% catch and shoot threes. So I know I can shoot the three. The Jazz didn't believe I could. And every time, you know, anybody would drive, Rudy Gobert would just help in and leave me alone. So I was actually going into that game. I noticed it last game, the game before that, where we won in Utah. And I knew that going into that game, I was going to get a lot of wide open looks. So basically the 2 days before that, I just prepared myself to knock down three. So while it was happening, I kind of knew it was going to happen. So I was locked in on just catching and shooting. And yeah, that's basically what I did. You know, I was sticking to the game plan and that was the game plan.
So did like Ty Lue kind of see how they were playing you guys in game 5 and like tell you like, yo, you're going to get these open threes, like be ready for it? Did he like go up to you and let you know that that would happen beforehand?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, you can even see in the second half or the fourth quarter, even in the game before that, it started to happen. You know, I started to get wide open looks and stuff like that. So I just knew leading into that game that it was going to happen again. And the whole coaching staff knew also. So everybody was kind of prepared for, you know, me to at least shoot 10 threes, which I did.
That's amazing. And then what was like, because I know this is still kind of a while ago, but what was kind of the halftime locker room like, you know, down by a bit in that game 6? What was kind of the energy, or what was Ty Lue saying, or what was the energy like in there?
So basically, you know, we were down like 25 or something like that, but we knew that they were a team that we were able to we knew we were mentally stronger than their team. So we knew we were going to bring ourselves back in the game and give ourselves a chance. And, you know, everybody was confident about that at halftime. And that kind of was a speech like, you know, we know what they're capable of. We know that they're going to let us back in the game. Just once we do get back in the game, stick to the game plan and do what we do.
Yeah. I also want to because you said you mentioned or you noticed in game five that this was possible for you to have this breakout game, or at least you would see the holes in your spots during the game. I want to know, did that dunk over Gobert at near the end of game five kind of expedite you thinking that you would have a good game the next game?
Nah, I mean, I wasn't thinking about the next game at all. I think that was just a play that happened in a game that was just a read, man. That was a read. I felt like I had the opportunity to go up and dunk it, and I tried it, and it went in. So that was more of a read. And yeah, I almost forgot about it after that happened. I was just so locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then is there something you learned the most about either you or your game during that playoff run, whether it was the first round or the second round or even against the Suns in the conference finals?
Specifically about my game, nothing specific. I think that everything that had happened, I knew that I had almost. But I think it was more for me to just tell myself you belong in the NBA and, you know, no one can tell you otherwise.
Yeah. What would you say was crazier? Was it the Dallas series or was it that Utah series? Because both were insane in their own way. But what would you say is crazier?
I don't know, man. I think the Dallas series was crazier just because of how loud it was, like how loud Luka was that whole series. How, you know, we went down 0-2 and then that game, I think it was game six, Kawhi had 45, was it? Mm-hmm. Like that in my life. Like, it was the stuff he did in game six was crazy. And then that game seven was also crazy. So I want to say Dallas was the craziest series. And it was like my first game seven ever playing. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You went off in that game seven too, especially in the first half. You had like a huge energy run off the bench that really helped them in that game too.
Yeah. I think I had like 14 or 15 in the first half. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've come through in the series clinching game. So you might have a little bit of a reputation now, but I think something that's cool that you said that Utah, like they couldn't, you know, that they would let you back in at one point. I feel like you guys had the exact opposite mentality of that, especially in the Dallas series, because you go 0-2, both games dropped were at home. And then game three, you're down 30-11 early. Like, I feel like it takes a lot, like you have to dig in deep. And then it's kind of something that was accumulated and built over time by Ty Lue for you guys to get through it. Can you talk about him and how he got you guys ready for that moment?
I think he just, you know, was real, real positive with us throughout the whole thing. You know, it was never a negative, you know, it was never a negative word or negative saying that he put out towards us. So I felt like we always felt like we were in a good spot. And that's what helped us throughout the whole series. You know, that game three, we were down 30-11. And the bench unit came in and brought us, we brought them almost all the way back. So it's all, you know, it was always just like, you know, something happened. It's either the benchers or the starters, the opposite unit would always, you know, fight back and make it happen. So we knew we had that. And I think we were all confident in that. And Ty Lue was confident in putting the bench unit in to help us come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is something about him. Do you also notice, these new players that you get, whether it's like Rocco or Norm or like Isaiah that came in, like you see them, like they kind of have like a different, I don't know, like when you get brought into that culture with Ty Lue, do you see like a change in them once they join the team, get fully acclimated to the culture?
Yeah, I think it's the culture not only Ty Lue created, but the players. Like we worked really hard as a team, especially the core guys who've been there, you know, me, Zubac, PG, Kawhi, Reggie, Marcus, you know, Amir, the guys who've been there since Doc was there have really worked hard to make the atmosphere real, you know, friendly and making sure everybody's positive and confident in their game. And that's how you get the best out of everybody. And I know before we got Rocco, I wouldn't say he was struggling in Portland, but, you know, he wasn't playing as well as he did when he came to us. Same with Isaiah, where he was before. So just to, you know, be able to have those guys come on and fit right in was amazing.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I want to move on to last season. Well, kind of a precursor to that was your rookie year. Doc kind of had you play, I want to say, third string one. And I want to know, I remember you played a little bit in summer league. And then when you got to the bubble, you had that near triple double, I believe. And then once the Bledsoe trade happened, you guys got Norman Rocco. And you had to go back to the backup one. I want to know, do you enjoy playing the one? And did your rookie year kind of prepare you for that moment? Because it was a lot more responsibility being the true backup. So did you enjoy it? And do you feel ready for it?
Yeah, I think my rookie year definitely helped me transition into a mid-season change in my position last year. It prepared me for it, and I was almost excited for it because I haven't been able to do that for a while. And I had a lot of fun doing it, you know, and my teammates, you know, had confidence in me and, you know, being the backup point guard again. So, it was a good experience.
Yeah. I
could play any position though. Like I could play point guard. I could play center. It doesn't matter. I know the whole offense in and out. And, you know, the coaches know that. So it doesn't matter where I'm at.
Right.
That's great for the Clippers, too, because Clippers just go small ball, 1 through 5, play any position. So it's literally that's their goal, too. So it works out perfectly.
Yeah, for sure.
Going back also to last season, is there any personal highlight that stands out to you? I do think I would say for me, for you, it's the game winner versus Brooklyn is one of your big moments. You had a game against Dallas. I remember I believe it was the second game you guys won when Zoo was checking Luka the whole game. And then you had like a step back three, which is crazy, that game as well. And you were working off the dribble, snaking pick and roll. Like, you seem super confident in that. And then you've had like games against the Lakers where you just look like they couldn't contain you. Is there anything last season that stood out to you?
Specifically, I'd probably say the game winner in Brooklyn was a game sealer in Brooklyn, just because that's where I was born and I had a lot of family there. And to be able to just do something like that in that arena with the hype that team had was, and we also had Marcus sitting out. I don't know if we had Reggie that game. We might've had Reggie, but I just remember, you know, second half, Eric Bledsoe going crazy. And then almost him telling me before that, like, yo, you're going to be wide open, just knock it down. And then that's exactly what happened. So I want to say that game was probably like the best feeling for me in terms of a win.
Yeah, that was a crazy game because like a bunch of the players were out too. That was during when like COVID was hitting and players were in and out. So it was kind of weird to adjust. It was a pretty weird year. And then of course it caps off at the end in that play-in game against the Pelicans. Paul George gets COVID. And that was unbelievable, of course. And what was that game like? Because that's like, you know, you get game sevens and you get the play-in games as the winner go homes in the NBA where it's like, it's literally do or die. What was that game like for you? And what was, because I was at that game and the whole atmosphere was just crazy because you guys made that huge run in the third quarter. It was a really, really fun game. Of course, couldn't get it done, but what was that game like for you?
Yeah, that game was pretty cool. It honestly was a weird dynamic because, you know, we had just got Norman Powell back. PG just went out. Luke just went out. So the team that we had never played together. Like the lineup we had of me, Norman, Rocco, Reggie, Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, like that was the 6 dudes we played. And that whole dynamic, like we never really played together. So that's why it took us all the way to the third quarter to figure out like, oh, wait, you know, they can't really guard us off the dribble. Let's just drive and go lay the ball up, you know? So it was a weird dynamic, and that's why it was hard for us to win that game because we never had to play with each other like that. But it was, you know, it was a cool game. I'm sure if, you know, we had PG and Reggie, PG and Luke Kennard, it would have been a different story. But, that game was pretty crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of felt like, because when you have an NBA playoff series, it's like each game is different. But where in the play-in game, it's like the whole game is like a series. Like each quarter is different. Each thing is different. There's a lot of adjustments on the fly. Right. And then like speaking of a series, I mean, got to talk about the Battle of LA series. The last 2 years, Clippers haven't lost a game against the Lakers. We're loving that, of course, being Clipper fans. But do the games against the Lakers feel different than any other games? Like, does the team have like, oh, this is kind of worth a little extra bragging rights? Or do you guys kind of treat it the same? What's that mindset like?
We honestly treat it the same. But I know that the fans really take, you know, big pride in it. There's actually some situations where you can feel it. Like, it depends on what's happening that month. So, like, I want to say one of the games we had played them right after All-Star break. And you could feel, like, you know, the rivalry tension just because it was one of the first games to start the second half of the All-Star. After All-Star, you could just feel, like, you know, the rivalry. So, some games you can feel it. Some games you can't. It's just another game.
Yeah, I think even I believe your rookie year, when Kawhi first got there, the opening night.
Oh yeah, that game, you could feel it for sure. That was great.
Yeah, I feel like you could feel like the atmosphere, like it felt like it was like palpable. And then to follow it up Christmas Day, and then even you're the opener in the bubble too. So it seems like, especially that first year, it was a marquee matchup for the NBA every season. Weird for you, like going into it, like it feels like these regular season games just feel like massive, at least in your rookie year, did it feel like that?
Yeah, my rookie year definitely felt every time we played them was a playoff game. And I think that's because of how much hype we had and how much hype they had. It was both teams almost picked to win the championship that year. So every regular season was like both teams trying to prove to each other that they were better and that they were going to win it.
I feel like my favorite from this last year was definitely like the Reggie skipping up the court, spin move, game winner. Twitter went crazy about that one. Now, did you notice him doing that up the court? That is what he does?
That's just honestly what he does. And I didn't even notice it. And I came up to set the screen for him because I knew he wanted that matchup. But, you know, we're real confident in Reggie when it's end of game time to make a big time shot. And he's pulled through a numerous amount of times for us.
I got a question about yours and Reggie's relationship. He seems like he could be best friends with anyone on that team. I think even when Xavier Moon got called up, he was like his vibe guy, and they seemed like buds like from day one. What's your relationship like with Reggie, and what kind of guy is he like in that locker room?
Me and Reggie are real close. You know, in the bubble we hung out a lot when we were in the bubble, and just ever since then we've been cool and real close. So I'm real close to Reggie. He's one of the best teammates I've had so far. So, you know, he's a great guy in the locker room, always has positive energy. You know, everybody knows Reggie's always positive and trying to make the next guy better.
His vibes are just immaculate. Whenever the Clippers get a home win and he's dancing to California Love after the game, like being at the games and seeing it on TV too, it's so fun. It just brings because that's what basketball is at the end of the day. It's just about having fun. So you see him having that every single game. And so I'm excited about with John Wall too, because we know John Wall can sometimes dance too. So we're looking forward to see the vibes with the team this year.
The vibes are definitely going to be there all year.
Love it.
And then speaking of vibes, you lose Isaiah Hartenstein, who felt like he was the engine for your guys' bench unit. And I feel like there was a clear chemistry between you, him, and Luke Kennard specifically. I think all you guys had really complimenting game styles. Like, he's guy up top initiating the offense. He can roll, he can hit the floater. Luke's off the chase, off the ball threat, catch and shoot. And then you're a little bit of everything in between. Garbage man can like do the dirty work, but also can shoot, cut, and do all that. What's his loss going to be like going into next season for you?
It's definitely going to be different. I'm sure we definitely won't play the same, obviously, because we don't have him. So our second unit won't be, you know, initiate anyone at the top initiating an offense almost, unless we find a guy who's just as good. But that crew of me, him, and Luke, I'm sad that it's gone, because we had a lot of fun together, you know, playing a three-man game up top. But, you know, hopefully that can get, you know, circle back around later on in our future. Who knows? But that was fun.
Yeah, that's definitely something we would like to see again. He was like one of my favorite players to see with you guys. And I want to know, outside of the Clippers, who's your favorite player in the NBA currently?
I don't have one, to be honest.
No, that's fine. I was gonna say maybe Rondo, because I know you had his card and you would bring it in your wallet. Do you still have that? And what was it like having him as your teammate?
Rondo was, I always looked up to Rondo growing up. And then having him as a teammate after I had his card since seventh grade was crazy. But yeah, I still got it right here.
Hey.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. On the money.
So yeah, man, just him being able to, you know, help me out in my game too, because he helped me a lot throughout those playoffs. I mean, if it wasn't for him, you know, having me come watch film with him in his room and just chilling with me, making me feel comfortable, I probably wouldn't be in the position I am today. So, yeah.
I have to note, like, I feel like people say that he should be a coach once he retires. Like, how crazy is his basketball mind, like, when you talk to him and you get to interact with him?
Yes, yeah, it's easily the most advanced mind I've ever been a part of and been able to pick. I mean, his mind's crazy. He's always making reads, always thinking about the next move. He's always two steps ahead. And that's what's made him a, you know, Hall of Fame point guard.
Hey, that was a great answer, though. They're not a Clipper. They don't matter. You don't have to have a favorite player. They're not a Clipper. They don't exist.
I don't care. All my favorite players are guys who went to Florida State, really. So Scotty Barnes, Pat Williams, Devin Vassell, Jonathan Isaac.
See? You know,
Fiondu, those guys are all my favorite players.
To close this off, I want to know, what are you most looking forward to this coming season, and what are some goals you have?
I mean, the goals I have is probably to be the best team in the league. Like, I want to be at the end of the power rankings number one. That's definitely one of the goals I have, and I'm just looking forward to all of it, man. Just, I think mainly seeing how we gel together, seeing how we play together. We currently don't have a backup center, so we're going to be playing a lot of small ball. So just being able to see how that works. And I think, you know, if it works really well, I want to say this could be a game changing type of thing for the NBA, especially if it works well for us.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting for sure, because that the team's loaded. There's a ton of talent. So even like guys that may not play, like Amir Coffey, Brandon Boston, even Jason Preston was showing some flash in the summer league. You guys are going to have so many guys in case people don't play.
Yeah, all the guys who aren't playing are definitely on any other team, either a role player or a starter. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Terrence, thank you again for joining us. Again, we really appreciate your time. I know off-season stuff can be really busy and stuff. I know we're on different coasts, but we really appreciate it. Good luck next season. We'll be cheering for you. And yeah, thank you again.
You're the best, Terrence. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
For having me. No problem.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And as always, go Clips.